Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
We're going to read from the book of Acts this morning, chapter number 26. A couple of verses of scripture beginning in verse 27, which some of you who read this book often will be familiar with it. This is Paul when he is speaking before King Agrippa. 27, the scripture says, King Agrippa, Paul is asking him this, believest thou the prophets? Paul said, I know that thou believest. That's important now. Paul said, I know that thou believest. I'm going to tell you how he got there in a little while. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, oh my, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The valley of decision that so many people are in today have used that word over and over and over again. Almost. Almost. Almost is not going to count when the trumpet sounds. Almost is not going to count when you close your eyes, and you meet Jesus. You're not going to be able to stand before him and say, well, Lord, I almost made it. Mm-mm. No, this is a race you will win or lose. And it doesn't matter if you come out second. Second place don't count. You got to be the winner. So here we find the Apostle Paul standing before the King Agrippa. This king was Agrippa the second, because his father was Agrippa the first. And so he was the grandson of Herod the Great. You remember him wanting to kill all the children, trying to kill Jesus. So this evil line of persecution of Israel comes all the way down now to the grandson. And I just wanted to tell you about that in this short structure of how Paul ended up here, presenting the gospel to a heathen king. When Paul got saved, God told him, said, you're gonna appear before kings and priests. You're going to preach my gospel to the world. And here we find him now, before a king. But we want to get back to why Paul was there in the first place. There was a reason. God's plan has always got a structure and a reason to it. Many times we find our place in the same situation that was spoken of by Mordecai, when he told his niece, and he told her, he said, you have come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. There are times in your life that you are in the place you're in because it's the time for you to be there. For such a time as this, you're here this morning. For such a time as this, you hear the word of God. For such a time as this, we have worshiped him this morning. Tomorrow morning, we may be worshiping him in glory. But such a time as this is now for us, and it was for Paul then. But it was, he got there because the priest and the religious people of Israel rejected Jesus Christ. He got there because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other C's and the Sanhedrin and all of the religious leaders of Israel hated Paul. They hated Paul because of the message he was preaching. And Paul's journey that was to bring him to Rome, because God had told him, Paul, you're going to preach in Rome. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to go through some tremendous trials, but you have to end up in Rome. Now, God's got a place where you're going to end up. And you may have some trials and tribulations in the process of getting there. And sometimes it'll be kind of rough, Sister Loretta. So Paul's journey was to be before King Agrippa. But it actually begins with the Jewish priest who did not believe what Paul was preaching, and that being Christ and him crucified. Remember, Jesus had said this. He said, they hate me and they're going to hate you. So the fact that the religious crowd hated Jesus and hated Paul, and is focused now on his disciples and the apostles, and guess what? As it was then, it is now. Many religious people hate Christ, and in hating Christ and Christianity, they hate us. They hate you as a Christian. Oh, they may never look at your face and say, I hate you, but because of the rejection of the message you have in your heart, they hate you. They want you to shut up. The world is trying to close the mouth of Christianity today. There's a battle going on that you and I may not at some times be aware of, but there's an evil spirit that's trying to get rid of Christianity in America. You better believe that and you better pray. As Christian mentioned Wednesday night, it's very possible that as time progresses, the church may have to go underground. In America, that God raised up to preach this gospel, to be the evangelist of the world. Now we need some evangelism in here. So they hated Christians then, they hate Christians today who follow Christ. But God, I love that. It's always but God. Because it doesn't matter what Satan does, God has another plan. God has another way out. So I love that little expression, but God. But God, God had another idea. God used that religious hate toward Jesus to fulfill the promise of a Savior. And a Savior who would save the entire world if they would come to Him. God will take that which the enemy means for harm for you, and He'll turn it around and He'll make it good if you desire to follow Him. He does it every day for us. And here in the book of Acts, God is using that same religious group, because you see, religion doesn't change, people just pass it on down. It's the same old hate. It's the same old religion. And today it is structured in such a form that it deceives the very elect. That's not in the notes, but I could preach that a while. That same religious hate God used to bring Paul to be a witness to the king. Isn't God great?
Yes, he is.
See, that's what God had told Paul during his conversion. Now we get an experience with God many times, but we don't stand still long enough to hear what God has to say to us. Stand still and know that I am God, the psalmist said. God speaks to you, don't run away from Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit that touches and speaks to your life. The latter fulfillment of Paul going to Rome is going to take place because of these trials and temptations that Paul has to go through. He was accused. You and I are accused. If you're a Christian believer, you're already accused of being a fanatic. You've already been accused, and the first priest accused Paul, and today Christians are being accused of having a phobia about sin. You're supposed to like sin even if you're a Christian. You don't dare speak out about sin. If you do, you're just homophobic. Or some kind of phobic. You're accused. You might as well know that from the beginning. If you're not ready to take the accusations, if you're not ready to take the battle that's coming before you, then you might as well just go be religious. That's the easy way out. And you see, the devil wants you and I to be afraid. He wants us to fear sin. He wants us to back up and not fight this battle. Be afraid of what the world says. Be afraid of what the religious group says. Walk in fear. Don't offend these people. But you see, it's not the Christian that fears sin. Come on. No. It's not the Christian that fears sin, but it's the sinner who is bound by sin that fears it. When we were sinners, we feared sin. We were always afraid of what sin was going to cause in our lives. We didn't name it as sin, but you woke up in the morning and, I wonder what bad is going to happen today. And if something bad happens, you say, well, it could have been worse. Afraid to confront the enemy. But you see, born again believers are not made of fear. Born again believers have been set free. Made free. Free from the bondage of sin. When you got saved, the chain, the bondage of sin was broken in your life. You walk in freedom. Healed. Set free. Walk in freedom. Live in freedom. Free from the kingdom of darkness. Satan rules a kingdom of darkness. And if you're not careful, you'll get involved in being afraid of what Satan can do to you in his darkness. But we are free from the grip of this world. Free in Christ. Yes, free indeed. I love the songs about freedom. I love the songs about being redeemed. I love the songs about being born again, because that means we are free. Yes, free indeed. Free, the song says, from the guilt of the past. Free from the fear of tomorrow. Free. We need more rejoicing about being free. Then you'll have no fear about being bound. See, Paul was bound by the sinners, but Paul was not bound by the sin.
That's right.
Oh, think about that. It was sinners that had him in bondage. But the sin did not have him in bondage. He was free. He was free. You may be physically bound by something today, but you don't have to be bound to the evil of that cause. Your spirit has been set free. In spite of a physical or mental bondage, your spirit can soar to heights unknown where victory awaits you this morning. Yeah. Oh, your spirit can soar. The Bible says, like an eagle. Don't keep your spirit down where the chickens are clucking, scratching in the barnyard. No. Your spirit is supposed to soar with the eagles. Why? He lifts us up to that place. And that's where he wants us to live. In victory every day. Thank God I am free. Thank God I am free. Can you thank God you're free this morning? Glory to God. Oh, let me get back to Paul here before we fly away. The priests brought Paul to Felix. See, there's a pecking order to all of this. In the military, there's a pecking order. In the church, there's a pecking order. In sin, there's a pecking order. So here was the pecking order. He brought Paul to Felix. And shortly after that, old Felix lost his position. I don't know what he did. He must have made the king mad. But he lost his position, and a man named Festus took his place. Not the one on Gunsmoke. Yeah, Festus took the place of of Felix. But both of these were Romans who had persecuted the Jews, both of them, evil men. But now I want you to get this lesson today. God will move heaven and God will move hell to achieve his will in your life. God will move heaven and hell to achieve his will in your life if you let him. And the reason his will is not always achieved in our lives, you see, he's already done his part. He's already moved heaven to an old rugged cross, and he moved hell to the center of the earth. And now he says, you can do my will if you want to. You have to want to. You have to desire. My desire, Lord, is to do your will. And he will achieve it in your life. Heaven or hell to do it. And as Christian said Wednesday night, I believe it was, even if he has to put roadblocks to keep you from falling on your face, to achieve his will for your life. You better thank God sometimes for the roadblocks. So God's will here was for Paul to go to Rome. And in this journey, God would perform some of the greatest miracles in the book through Paul on his journey to Rome. Listen, we are on a journey, and if we'll put this journey in God's hands and follow Jesus, he will perform the miracles along the way that we need to get there. Amen. Trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation, Paul went through it following Jesus. And miracles were performed because of his faith in what God had told him. God said, you're going to Rome, Paul. I don't care what they do to you. You're going to preach my word. You're going to spread this gospel to the Gentiles. Oh, regardless of what the devil does. Now Festus brings Paul to King Agrippa. You see the progression there? The priest who had no authority under Roman law could not do what they wanted to do to Jesus or to Paul or anyone else. Because Roman law had control of all of it, and they allowed the Jews to do certain things under control of the Roman law. And so the priests could not do what they really wanted to do to Jesus. That was to kill them, kill him themselves. They had to go through Roman law and have him crucified on the cross. That was the Roman law. And they couldn't kill Paul as they wanted to because they had to turn him over to the Roman law. They didn't have that authority. So now Paul is brought from Festus to King Agrippa, and he leaves him there. King Agrippa was as high as he could get. So he leaves him there, and they begin to accuse him and tell the king why he was here. They accused him of being and doing all sorts of things against the Roman law. Even said he said he's a king, and we know he's not the king. You're the king. The king loved to hear that. He's a proud man. They thought they were turning the king against Paul. So Paul is the king's problem now. Christians are always a problem to sinners. Yeah, if you get in a bunch of sinners and you start talking about Jesus, you're the problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better thank God that you're a problem to the sinners. Yeah, you're a problem. So you must ask yourself this question this morning. Am I a problem for the devil? Does the devil hate to see me wake up in the morning? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd rather see you dead. Are you a problem for him today? Are you getting in his way, not allowing him to perform his evil work for you or for somebody else? You're a problem for the devil when you pray through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That creates a problem for the devil. You need to be a problem. We need to be a problem for the devil. Because you see, when you're a problem for the devil, you will see God's plan work. You'll have a revelation of God's plan. He will enlighten that to you. Now you see, this king was the man with full Roman authority, the king. But what God put in the heart of evil kings, they must do. Remember that. What God puts in the heart of evil people, that's what it means, that want to do evil against you. Yeah. God will put something in their heart that they must do even if they don't want to do it. Amen. And sometimes they don't even know what they're doing in the process of doing what God put in their heart to do. Now, I hope you're not confused about all this doing. But God will do that. So this king, instead of saying that this man has caused an insurrection, I like that word. You've heard it before. Come on. Don't put me down. Instead of throwing him in the dungeon, instead of passing judgment on him, put him in the dungeon. Tomorrow morning we'll take his head off. king had authority to do that. And he may have wanted to do that. See, maybe he would have liked to have said that, but God had another plan. You say, what happened to the king? I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost arrested his heart. His heart was arrested by the Holy Spirit. And he couldn't say or do what he wanted to. He had to do what God said he was going to do. And he absolutely did that. The king's heart had been arrested by the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, you can't get it right until your heart has been arrested by the Holy Ghost. He's the convicting power that goes before. And convicts the heart, arrests the heart. He don't want to arrest your old body. It ain't worth nothing anyhow. He wants your heart. He wants your emotion and your spirit and your soul. And when he can arrest that, see, that's what causes a sinner to get saved. We may not have realized that until right now when we get a revelation of what the Holy Spirit does in our heart. Convicts us, brings us to the cross where there's salvation for us. That comes in many ways. Somebody may have witnessed to you. Maybe you sat in a church and heard the message of God. And I've seen people sit there with conviction so bad in their heart, they grip the back of the pew till their knuckles turn white and never, never accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but walk out because conviction had them. Their heart had been arrested, but they broke out. No. The king's heart had been arrested. Christian brought out something in Wednesday night's Bible study about Balaam and Balak. I'm glad he brought that out because that's something people don't really think about. But I thought about this when I was putting this message together. Balak was, he was a descendant. Well, he belonged to the tribe of Moab, I believe, if that's right. And he was a descendant. The Moabs were descendants of Esau. And all of Esau's descendants hated Israel. They hated the Jew. They remember how Jacob, representing the Jew, stole Esau's birthright. But Esau actually gave it up. They remembered all that. They hated the Jews through all the years. And so Moab is involved in this situation here. And this guy, Balak, he tells Balaam, he said, I want you to go and I want you to curse Israel's army. They were fixing to have a get at it. And he said, I want you to go and curse Israel's army. So Balaam now had a reputation of being able to curse people. You can read it in the scripture. He had a reputation of that. So Balak said, this is the man I want. I'm going to send him to curse Israel. So he goes forth to curse Israel. But when he gets there, the Holy Ghost arrests his heart. And when he opens his mouth, blessings come out instead of a curse.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. there goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.